Warm summer evenings, sitting outside listening to music, feel very far away indeed at this moment, but they will arrive, and the Brit festivals in Jacksonville will offer many opportunities to spend evenings with music this year. The Classical Festival, where Brit started years ago, runs several weekends in August. Brit announces the musical lineup tonight, and we visit with the boss today and try to pry a few details out of him. Teddy Abrams is the musical director for the Brit Classical Festival and obviously conducts the orchestra as well. Teddy, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about that first season last summer and how that felt while it was going on and what kind of afterglow you got from it.
Well, it really went tremendously well. It's one of these things where you spend an entire year planning. So you're basically planning 3 weeks of your life for about 9 or 10 months. And you don't really know exactly how it's going to all work out because there are so many factors that they can only occur in the 3 weeks that you're actually playing. And so you plan and plot and kind of dream up a season that you think is going to really bring people together and excite the musicians, excite the audiences, and provide for both the kind of musical needs and wants of the community, which is a rather large task and a rather overwhelming one. And then you actually get into the music making and the spirit of Brit, which is so spectacular. And this is really last year was the first season that I was able to participate from the beginning to the end. It was my first season as music director. And so not only was I kind of going through all of the various components of making the season happen from a musical and tactical and administrative standpoint, but I was just trying to experience what Brit actually is too, as a newcomer to it. And pretty much everything that occurred was somehow special and memorable, and really exceeded all of the expectations and the kind of dreams I had about what it could be. Because there are a number of things. Of course, the orchestra is spectacular. It really is a world-class orchestra that we have here. These are musicians coming from some of the finest orchestras around the world to make music here, and they don't play together the rest of the season. Most of them are in different places. And so for them, it's a very special time. They feel an intense kind of ownership and connection to this region, and they love it. Many of them have been coming here for decades. And so there's all that energy. And then there are the pieces themselves, and we spend a lot of time thinking about programming, because that really is the kind of ingredient list that you're going to use to make what I often use metaphorically as the meal or the collection of meals that will be the festival. So the choice of ingredients is so critical to get the highest quality ones, but also the right balance. And so last year I felt like we really hit a balance between the great repertoire of the past, those real giant pieces like Mahler symphonies, Beethoven symphonies, Brahms symphonies that are such towering masterworks, and also a lot that represents the widest and broadest musical world that we're capable of playing. And it seemed like people were very excited about that mixture and that diversity. And I was happy to report that not only did we have really kind of record attendance, there were two concerts that basically were sold out, 2,300 people or so, but we also had a real wonderful diversity of our audiences and people coming to see Bela Fleck playing his own banjo concerto that might never have expected to also see a Brahms symphony on the same program. And I love seeing that.
I'm glad you mentioned it in terms of a meal, because I've been avoiding using the term menu, but it sounds like that really is the way you think about it.
It really is. And it's immensely complex because you're plotting a very intensive schedule. Essentially, we do in 3 weeks what even the largest of symphony orchestras would only attempt to do in several months, because they are seven completely different full-length programs. And that has been one of the distinguishing factors of Brit internationally, because most summer festival orchestras, if a place is lucky enough to have a full-size professional orchestra, and there are really only a handful of locales in the entire country that have such a thing, even if you have that, then the kind of repertoire that is played is usually not like the kind of repertoire we play, which is full-length, really large-scale, ambitious works. They could be in many genres. It could be so-called kind of classical music, whether it's from the Romantic era or the Baroque era, but it also could be jazzy. It also could be something that's a world premiere. And so for us, it's a very, very ambitious and exciting 3 weeks. And it means I have to be really conscious of that balance. And it really is kind of like going into the market and choosing all of the different components that make up a great meal. And I think like a chef that not only hopefully has a great talent for cooking, but also wants to inspire the people that are going to consume that meal, you want to have ingredients that people are familiar with and love and are going to draw on their own kind of historical food memories, but also ones that are going to surprise, delight, and maybe challenge their expectations. And that's exactly what we try and do. I think a balanced concert, especially one presented by a symphony orchestra, for which there really is, there's no comparison. There's nothing like hearing a full-size, great professional symphony orchestra. There's nothing like it. We might as well show off that broadness and that diversity, because the range of what we can play is vast, and it expands far beyond people's traditional idea of what an orchestra might be.
Teddy Abrams again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the musical director and conductor at the Brit Classical Festival. The season will be announced tonight. And you can join us here in the Jefferson Exchange now to visit 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. It's not like you can bring in Storm Large every summer like you did last year for the Seven Deadly Sins, but is there a similar star power event this year?
There absolutely will be. And now, I've been somewhat sworn to secrecy, it's a big deal because tonight is our season announcement, and so we make this announcement, which we've been gearing up towards. And actually, even at our most recent board meeting, I was still sworn to secrecy. So everybody's finding out, aside from a few select staff members, including the orchestra. I know they're very excited to see what we have planned. But I can say this, that even though I can't go into the specifics, which I'm very excited to do soon, but this year, this upcoming season in August, is going to be a kind of banner year. And I've been saying that the only word to describe it, I think, and it is a very zeitgeisty kind of contemporary word that hopefully my generation will understand instantaneously, is epic. Because the pieces that we've chosen, by and large, are pretty extraordinary on a scale and on terms of their ambition and what they mean. So there are a number of pieces that just require enormous forces. One of them, and this is a hint, requires probably the largest number of musicians on stage that you're going to get from a symphonic work. And it's one that has never been played at Brit before. And it is now just a little bit over 100 years old. I'm sure many people can kind of put together what I'm talking about.
People heading for Google at this moment, yes.
People are Googling away, and I'll say this. It also caused a riot at its very first performance, although that was probably due to the dance component of the piece. So now I'm sure, half the listeners know exactly what I'm talking about. The others are probably so excited to go and figure out what this might be. But that, that's just an example. There are a number of pieces that are on a huge scale, and one of the things I wanted to do was to say, look, we have this extraordinary orchestra. We have a wonderful organization with these great capabilities, a beautiful, beautiful setting to hear music. Let's kind of go all out this season and push ourselves and see what we're capable of. You're going to see that not only in terms of the scope of the repertoire and that kind of ability to scale up really large pieces and really kind of big presentation works, but also in terms of style. And there are a number of guest artists that are coming here, especially in the middle week. There's going to be a whole group of guest artists that represent different styles. We have somebody who crossed over from singer-songwriter to jazz, but was classically trained at Juilliard. We have bluegrass and folk and fiddler artists. And I mean, it's really extraordinary. And my own group is coming here to act as soloists. So there's another little tidbit.
There's
from
a hint. Okay, good.
Season. There's a hint, but basically I'm really, really proud of what we've come up with, because if you take a look at it, the diversity of repertoire is nothing short of, I think, reflection of what an orchestra is capable of. And I have to say that the takeaway from last season was that this orchestra is so good. I mean, it's not every day that you get to conduct an orchestra that not only has great technical capabilities, but also has spirit. There are a lot of orchestras out there that play wonderfully, but you don't necessarily get an overwhelmingly positive vibe from them and that kind of spirit. And honestly, that is the thing that attracts audiences and endears the public. And I think it really creates a powerful connection between the listeners and the orchestra. And that's something that Brit has. I mean, it was, despite the challenges of the repertoire and how much work they have to do in essentially what would be their summer vacation, they were all so positive for 3 straight weeks, rehearsal after rehearsal and concert after concert. And that's really inspiring for a conductor. That's what they're looking for.
So, Teddy Abrams, I'm curious, having spent the 1 weekend the year before in sort of the tryout for the new musical director-conductor, and then the full season last year, which again is 3 weekends, how do you get to know an audience in an area well enough to be able to pick pieces for Southern Oregon, for Louisville, for Detroit, for any of the places you work?
That's a great question, and it also hints at the fact that every community is really different. And, you know, as an arts organization, we are different than simply a presenting organization. As a nonprofit, as an orchestra, as that kind of an institution, we do more than simply present what people are going to buy. And that's a major distinction that I think everybody has to remember, that like a museum and like any other kind of cultural organization, we're thinking about not only what people want, but also what they need. I alluded to that before. And what might be able to bring the community together in important ways, and what might inspire people. And that really does vary by region. You can't just take the same thing and plop it down, especially in when you're talking about an orchestra, which is in so many ways a reflection of the people that care about it and have supported it for years and years and years, and they come to it and look forward to it. Those people, those characters and their personalities and their mindsets vary pretty wildly from place to place. And so it means the balance of providing a repertoire that in some ways is familiar, in some ways is new, in some ways is challenging, is constantly evolving. And so one of the things I do wherever I go is to try and find out as much about the region and the people that live there as possible. Especially as a music director, my job is to be visible. And I think that's a really important distinction between a conductor and a music director. A lot of people wonder, well, besides waving your arms, what exactly do you do? You know, I mean, and that's a valid question. And even that, you know, just waving your arms doesn't seem like a whole lot, because the musicians are actually making the music. And that's something I never forget, that no matter how well you're waving your arms, other people are actually producing all the sound. So the question is, what exactly does a music director do? Well, it's all of the stuff that goes into creating a season. It's all of the kind of coach work, you know, in other words, like a basketball coach or a sports coach of some kind. It's all the work that goes into the concert, which is pretty intensive. But one of the most important roles of the music director is knowing the area and knowing the people. So I make it a big point to actually be on the ground here as much as I can, talking to people, making myself as accessible as possible. And traditionally, when you think of the maestro, that's not the image that comes to mind. I mean, maestro is that there's a reason they call the person the maestro. It's not accessible. It's somebody that you don't necessarily have an immediate connection with, that you wouldn't necessarily see hanging around town, that they wanted some kind of separation from the community. And in my mind, that's the exact opposite of what we need to be working towards now, because the only way for me to program and create music effectively is to know the people that I want to actually play music for. And moreover, also to know the people that haven't come to Brit, that don't know anything about it, and don't know that we have this orchestra that meets once a year for 3 weeks that is spectacular in Southern Oregon, and to find out a way to get them to be excited about it. And that is a huge part of my job, is just meeting and talking to people and inspiring them enough with either, you know, a little bit of music here and there on a keyboard or something that I can say that gets them to come and experience what we call the Brit experience. And so that's why I'm here right now. This will be the second of 3 trips I make prior to the season. Then I come a whole week early just to go around the community and talk to as many people as possible, get to know them on a real personal level.
Teddy Abrams is the conductor and musical director at the Brit Classical Festival, which announces its season tonight. He's given us a few hints already. You had brought up you referenced earlier to my generation. You are a millennial, and it is that generation that really needs to... You said it, I didn't. It is that generation that needs to get interested in classical music for there to be a future in classical music as a commodity to be bought, I guess.
That's right. And you know, the millennial generation, as I said, it is much maligned. I think that all the preceding generations have opinions on millennials. I've heard everything from they're lazy, they're arrogant, They don't necessarily know what it takes to achieve what other generations have achieved. There are a lot of issues with my generation, but it's also an extraordinarily diverse group of people that can't really be lumped up or summed up in that kind of terminology. And so it's a really interesting group of people, though, because actually one of the good and I think important points of my generation, if you can, again, issue some kind of like overarching description of them, might be that I think that they want to participate in community and make a difference in community as a regular part of their lives. Again, this describes a huge group of people, but it seems like that's part of the contemporary ethos. I think a lot of millennials or whatever we are question exactly how to do that and how one might go about doing that when you know the world is so incredibly wide open and sometimes the path towards making a difference, whatever that means, is not always clear or easy. And I think through art and what we demonstrate that art is one of the most direct and important paths to making a difference in community, we can find a place that people really come together of all generations. And it's been my experience that as soon as you break down the barriers of presentation, in other words, if the music itself is wonderful, we know that, and we believe in the music. If the music itself is wonderful, then a lot of times the issues with getting people in my generation to come and experience it have nothing to do with the music. They have to do with the way we present it and the way we surround it. And so for me, it's all about breaking those barriers down, demonstrating to people why this is relevant and important to them. And then I think that we have people who are hooked for life.
Lots of choices in both content and in packaging. The content will get announced tonight when the Brit Festival's announced the offerings for the classical season. Teddy Abrams will be there, and we hope to hear tomorrow on our First Friday Art segment what they are as well. Teddy, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Always good to have you.